Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Chasm Radio Farm Director Joe Gill from Kansas City, Missouri, at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Annual Convention. Great week. Lots of great interviews with ag organization leaders. First of all, we go all the way to Kansas City to talk to NCBA President-elect Don Schiefelbein from the Kimball area and discussing everything surrounding the beef industry this week.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
You know, we were down in Farm Fest, I think, back in August, and a lot of folks really appreciated your perspective on the industry. And when you bring in government, you know, sometimes it gets to be a little tangled mess right there. But it's an industry we're dealing with a few issues here as we move ahead.
Yeah, we are. And hopefully everybody can find a path forward without encumbering some trouble that may come back to bite us later on, right? And that's what we're looking for is what's the path forward without tying us down to something we may have wished we shouldn't have done.
Don, when you look at priorities, what do you feel they are as we move and a new year is on the horizon here?
Well, first and foremost, it's to make sure that we manage the taxes. You know, if you look at all these huge multi-trillion dollar bills, there's always on the look for pay-fors, right? And as you know, early on, agriculture was in kind of that scope of being an area they might find pay-fors and stepped-up basis and inheritance tax and some of those all things that are so important to our community that we've been able to keep those off the table, and going forward, we want to make sure they're permanently off the table.
It's great they're not there, but like you said, there always might be in the background and linger there, so we can't afford to be quiet either.
Yeah, and the other thing I think as you look forward is this, you know, our industry can, even though we're 2% of the whole population U.S.-wise, boy, we sure do a lot of inner discussions and inner fighting amongst ourselves. And imagine if you were a lawmaker in D.C. and you were trying to act on our behalf in good faith. How would you know what to do based on the noise that comes out of our industry from all areas on what is the best path forward?
You know, Don, at the end of the day, I think as different organizations, we have common goals, common priorities, and in a common interest, obviously.
Yeah, and what frustrates me is there's probably 95% of the things we agree on, and we agree on wholeheartedly. But what comes out in the press or what we take to the public is the 5% we may disagree on. And to me, that just makes so little sense. You just talk whether it's a marriage, whether it's a family operation. When you're together 95% of the time, that's a good thing, and let's focus on that, and let's try to get those 95% across the finish line without letting the 5% bury us as we're trying to get there.
Don, a lot of conversations I've had this week revolve around environment, sustainability, and such. It always kind of irks me that the cattle industry or any agriculture kind of gets a bad rap when, for many years, we've been leading this drive towards these goals.
Yeah, and I hopefully you're seeing a big change in that stance. Is now NCBA is going on the offensive. We believe this is an area that we've long championed in reality because we've been the first stewards of the land. We've cared for our animals. But this whole term, sustainability, has scared our base into saying, well, we don't want to go in that way. I think it's time that we stand on the mountaintops and start screaming it because it's a thing that we do well and we do it extremely well. We are the solution in this area.
Don, at the end of the day, it's a selling point, should bring some added value to your product as well.
Absolutely. You know, who takes carbon out better than grass, and who uses grass more than cows, right? It is absolutely, you've got it spot on. It should be an area that we should be excited about, enthused about. It's an area in our wheelhouse that we're good at, and I think it's one we're going to win in a big way.
Don, finally, locally, you guys, how did you come out of this summer? What a tough year when it came to the impact on our pastures and stuff, but you guys made it through.
I tell you what, neighbors are great, and I cannot tell you how many neighbors. As you know, during this season, you went from having swamp ground to grass ground, right? And the neighbors stepped up and said, boy, there's this water spot, it dried up. You want to take hay off it? You want to pasture it? And I tell you what, thank you to the neighbors and thank you to Minnesota Nice for pulling us through.
Don, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you being here as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being on.
Also from Minnesota, Terry Walters is the National Pork Producers Council president-elect. And, well, we talked pork issues, and some of these issues were the same topics we did at World Pork Expo this past summer in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah, there's some of those that are definitely still on our radar. You know, there's always trade on our radar. Labor definitely is on our radar. But the one good thing we can say is that we were talked a lot about line speed at Expo, and that had recently come down on us, that we had shortened that up and slowed those plants down. But the one good thing is, in the last week here, government has come out and they're going to give us an opportunity to speed those plants back up with a understanding with the union, and we're going to have to do an application process and then run those plants for a year to document and make sure that worker safety and food safety maintains the levels that we should. So that's a good win here in the recent week.
And really, rewinding a bit, there was no evidence of any issue necessarily at all. It's just, all right, now we have another hoop or two to go through.
Right, and so we've ran those plants for 20 years. All I can say is I've got a tremendous amount of confidence in the companies and the union to go ahead and move that forward. So I am very optimistic here that hopefully by the 1st of January, they'll be off to speeding those lines back up.
Terry, what are we seeing as far as Prop 12? Anything new in California regarding that?
Well, the case is still pending. There's been a couple middle steps there that Michael's a far better resource than I am. But the long and the short of it is we're hoping the Supreme Court picks that case up here in early part of January. But then we can work on moving that forward. And at a minimum, we'd like to see it extended. But hopefully a better win would be to see it put to rest so that we don't have to deal with that at all.
Terry, you mentioned labor, too. It's not specific to the pork side of things. I talked to dairy. I talked to whoever it may be. It's an issue for everybody.
Yeah, I think all, you know, retail all the way down to the farm level. Obviously, farms, we locate in rural America. We just don't have the population base to draw from. So that's a definite concern from the production side. But we also have to be mindful that we need them in the harvest facilities as well. And so we need to keep those plants staffed. We need to keep them running. And we don't want to back up in product, no matter which species it is.
Finally, Terry, too, we talk about supply chain with everything and anything. It's something we're dealing with in animal agriculture.
Yeah, it is. You know, we want the animals in the pig cycle. That's an 11-month process. So we bred those sows 11 months ago. They're coming to market now. We're seeing the slower line speed. We're backing some pigs up. I hear some producers that are getting loads canceled, contracts canceled. So we need to get that behind us, and hopefully this added line speed will help that. But at the same time, the supply chain all the way through the consumer, it's a lot more real time than people realize. And so I've had multiple people tell me that because of the labor issue, for example, we're shipping a lot of hams to Mexico and they're not being processed here. Well, I know Arby's has taken the ham and cheese sandwich off their menu because they can't get ham. Who would have ever thought that would happen in the United States? I've had a recent call from a producer at St. Cloud that said, golly, I went into the Costco store and they're out of pork. I'm like, how can you be out of pork? I never, ever in my life I thought I'd hear that.
And from a consumer standpoint, they're probably wondering, really, are we out of hogs? We have nothing going on. It has nothing to do with that, though.
No, it's just a process through the system, which, unfortunately, we're heavily dependent on truck drivers. The ports, I mean, you just go right on down the list. It is a complete supply chain that we have to rely on.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for your Saturday. I'm CASM Radio Farm Director Joe Gill. Have a great weekend.